will have a roundup and analysis of the latest news about Wisconsin's upcoming recall elections in today's edition of the State Capitol Report. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 7.5 minutes past 7 o'clock now on this Monday, April the 9th. We will be talking with a UW-Green Bay political science professor about the upcoming recall elections and the latest news involving the campaigns of those involved. What is your reaction to the news that Republican supporters will run as fake Democrats in these races to force primaries in all of the contests? How about the battle taking place between two of the Democratic challengers, Kathleen Falk and Tom Barrett? Their camps are battling over which candidate is a better friend of labor. Do you know which candidate you will support in the recall elections? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter, Sean Johnson, who usually is with us on these state capitol reports, is off today. He's extending his holiday weekend by one day, and we're going to let him do that because he is going to be putting in overtime over the next couple of months covering these recall elections this spring. Tomorrow is the deadline for candidates to get in their nomination papers if they plan on challenging Governor Scott Walker, Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, or four Republican state senators. The primary election day for the recalls will be May the 8th. The general election, the recall election day, will be June the 5th. So let me welcome our guest. We are very happy to have with us Tim Dale, Assistant Professor of Political Science at UW-Green Bay. Good morning.
Hi, Joy. Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot for being with us. Well, let's talk first about a story that's in the news this morning. AFSCME, the state's largest public union, the Wisconsin's largest public employee union, AFSCME, is now saying that it used poor judgment when it directed its members to an internet video that was attacking Democratic candidate for governor Tom Barrett. The video was incorrectly implied that Tom Barrett supported Governor Scott Walker's changes to Wisconsin's collective bargaining law. Here is a clip from that that appearance that Tom Barrett had on Charlie Sykes' radio show.
Collective bargaining changes are not fiscal. I think the proponents are trying to argue that they are, but the Fiscal Bureau and others have said they're not fiscal. Mm-hmm. And so you could vote on those without those missing senators. You could vote on those tomorrow morning.
Would you favor that?
I would certainly favor that. And the bill will pass. And the bill should pass.
So anyway, now AFSCME, even late last week, was standing by its decision to release this video. Now AFSCME is saying that this video was over the top and it used poor judgment in telling its members to look at this video. AFSCME has endorsed another candidate, former Dane County Executive Kathleen Falk. Give us your analysis of what happened here.
Well, at the time, your listeners might recall that the Democratic senators had left Wisconsin and were preventing a vote on the budget bill because you needed a greater number of senators to vote on a budget than you would just traditional legislation. And the question that Barrett is responding to is about combining the budget bill with the collective bargaining legislation, which is, of course, what Walker initially done. And Barrett is making the technical observation that one does not have to combine those pieces of legislation. In fact, that they are separate issues and should be voted on separately. Of course, this is what the Republicans did right after Barrett said that. And so the advertisement that you played is equating Barrett's position with the position of the Walker administration, or the one that the Walker administration ended up taking. The reason that they're drawing back on it now is that it is an unfair portrayal, because Barrett goes on in those remarks to explain that he is actually against the legislation that he would vote against the legislation. So it mischaracterizes him as in favor of the legislation, even though you heard right at the end that the legislation should pass. What he meant was that the legislation should pass with a simple majority, which is what it had at the time. So the reason that this is an issue and will be an issue for the primary is that this is a position that's different between Falk and Barrett. So Falk is taking the position now that the collective bargaining should be a part of a new budget bill, and Barrett is arguing that it shouldn't, that it needs to have a separate vote. So Barrett is still maintaining the position that he had at the time of the interview that you just played that was part of that advertisement, but it is really a disagreement about when and how the collective bargaining should be repealed, which is what they're arguing about, not that it should be repealed overall, but technically what legislative process should be used.
Mm-hmm. Well, how big of a deal is this going to be in the Democratic primary for the Democratic candidate for governor?
Well, the reason that this is kind of a tricky area is that on the one hand, Democrats don't want to beat each other up so much that they can't run against Walker in a general election. But on the other hand, they have to show contrast between themselves and the other candidates in the field. And so you are going to see kind of a negotiation of this this fine line between drawing contrasts and being overly negative and affecting chances in the overall general election. I think you would ask any of the Democrats, and they would say they'd rather have any other of the Democrats instead of Scott Walker. But at the same time, there are going to be contrasts that are going to be drawn. So I think the union endorsement is particularly significant in this race, of course, because this really is about, for a lot of the people voting in the Democratic primaries, is about the collective bargaining issue. And so I think the where you're going to see the debate is who has the most credible case for getting the most done when it comes to the issues that are important for these primary voters.
Yeah. If we can, I hope you're somewhat prepared to do a quick strengths and weaknesses for the Democratic candidates for governor who will all face off in the May 8th primaries.
Sure.
Let's start with Tom Barrett, Milwaukee mayor, who's the latest to enter this race. Strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, well, Barrett is making the argument that he's the most prepared to run in the race against Walker because he ran in the race against Walker the last time. So Barrett has the advantage of running a statewide campaign the most recently. He has some connections with other Democrats in the state. So Barrett has quickly accumulated some endorsements of state legislators. Ron Kind recently endorsed Barrett. So Barrett has some of that going for him right now.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, weaknesses?
Oh, yeah. And Barrett has the problem of the advantage that I just mentioned, which is that he has lost to Walker in the past. And so Barrett is going to have to make good arguments for Democratic voters as to where the victory is going to come. So Barrett has that disadvantage of having lost to Walker in the past. Of course, the context for this election is going to be completely different, and so that is going to be part of the explanation that's coming out of the Barrett campaign.
Yeah, and there are Democrats who say just that, hey, he had his chance, he lost. This is a different election, though.
It is, mm-hmm. And I think that one of the things that's going to connect overall to strengths and weaknesses of candidates is how well the candidates can mobilize support but also raise funds. And so really I think the endorsements in a race like this aren't as important as being able to raise money. And so if Barrett shows himself to be formidable in being able to run advertising, and I think Falk is raising money at nearly the level that Barrett is right now, that's going to be a strong indicator of how strong a campaign is, mm-hmm. particularly given the shortened election cycle for the recall.
Yeah, all right. So, are the endorsements of all the employees' unions a strength for Kathleen Falk?
They certainly are, and the unions came out fairly early in support of Kathleen Falk, and so she has this disadvantage. She's clearly running as the pro-union candidate. And all the candidates are running as pro-union candidates, but the unions themselves, several of them, are backing Falk on this. And I think in this way, the unions are trying to be really influential in how this Democratic primary it shakes out. Of course, the unions were influential in gaining the recall signatures. And so I think this really is a matter of negotiation for how it is that the collective bargaining bill is at the forefront of the recall election. And this is what those unions are hoping with the endorsement of Falk.
Mm-hmm. And she is the only candidate who pledged that she would veto a budget if it did not repeal the collective bargaining Act 10?
Right, and this is one of the differences, the key differences, at least right now, between Falk and Barrett, is that Barrett was against putting the collective bargaining legislation into the budget bill to begin with. His argument is that it is inappropriate to put legislation that has nothing to do with budgeting into a budget bill. And so he's maintaining consistency right now as he argues that it should be a separate special session of the legislature that considers collective bargaining. Falk's argument is actually the opposite. She doesn't believe that it is inappropriate to put collective bargaining in the budget bill. In fact, her argument is that it's so significant that it belongs in the budget bill. Again, this is a more of a technical matter of how legislation is introduced, but this is a difference between the two right now.
Mm-hmm. And her weaknesses?
Well, she has the similar to Barrett. I think one of the questions about Falk is how involved she's been in the politics of this issue so far. So there's an argument about whether or not someone who has been central to negotiations about the collective bargaining and the budget, or central to the politics of the last year in Madison, it should be running against Walker for governor. But in this case, like Barrett, her weaknesses are also her strengths. Her strengths are also her weaknesses, in that she has been central to a lot of these issues. And so her argument is that these are the very things that qualify her, is that she has been so involved. And I think the strengths and weaknesses conversation is really one about whether people think that the collective bargaining ought to be the center of the recall focus. And if you do think that everything that's happened over the last year should be central, I think you would see Falk's involvement as a strength. But if you want to see something other than that as a central focus, I think you might say that is a weakness for Falk.
All right, let's also talk about the other candidates. State Senator Kathleen Vinehout, she's a Democrat from Alma, a dairy farmer, I believe, and one of the Democratic state senators who did flee the state to prevent the vote on the Collective Bargaining Act.
Right, and Vinehout has several things that are going for her in terms of her experience, in terms of her ability to travel to other parts of the state and talk to people, maybe even talk to people about issues that go beyond just the collective bargaining. But her major weakness is just going to be name recognition. So you have Falk and Barrett already lining up endorsements, already having significant contributions coming in. And so in any race like this, in any election cycle, people who have less name recognition are at a disadvantage. I think that disadvantage is particularly pronounced in this election because it is such a shortened calendar.
Yeah, well, no problem with name recognition for Secretary of State Doug LaFollette.
No, and actually LaFollette does not have that disadvantage, except that he is not as well known individually in terms of his positions or policies. So you definitely have name recognition there, which is certainly a strength. He also has been involved in the politics around the collective bargaining legislation. But again, he doesn't have the recognition statewide. He doesn't have the endorsements lining up. And so he would be in a similar position where he has a disadvantage of being tied to the politics the same way Falk is, but the additional disadvantage is that he isn't all that well-known outside of Madison.
Now, here's someone that's reportedly going to be entering the race. Republicans have said they're going to field candidates, so-called fake Democrats, to make sure there are primaries in all of these recall elections. I'm not sure why there was going to be a primary for governor, but apparently they will be fielding Gladys Huber, a fake Democrat. Do you know anything about Gladys?
I don't know anything about Gladys. And this is in the Republican primary, or I'm sorry, the Democratic primary for the recall?
Yes, this is this is a candidate that is going to run in the Democratic primary for governor, Gladys Huber. In any case, just give us your take on the fake Democrats that will be running in all of these races. The Republicans say they want to do this to make sure there is a one date for the primary and one date for the general elections, including all of the state senator recalls.
Well, before I talk about the controversy of it, I want to be sure that it's clear what the Republican strategy is. If we can imagine the Democratic primary on for the governor's race, Falk against Barrett against Feinhout against La Follette, that race, if it happens on May 8th, but that the general election for the other races happens on May 8th, one would imagine that all the voters or a lot of the voters out at the polls are voting in the governor's, the gubernatorial primary. And so what you would have if the general election for those other races were happening on May 8th is that voters would be voting for their favorite Democratic primary challenger, but then also the general election, and the turnout among Democrats would be much higher than Republicans. And so Republicans are concerned that there's one date for the primaries in all of the races and then another date for the general election for all of the races to maintain consistency, and that gives them a better predictability of having a general election voters on one date and a primary set of voters on another date. That's a strategic reason. Depending on who you talk to, the running fake anything in an election can be perceived as an insult to the electoral process. So, it generally divides along the lines of whether or not you align yourself with a party that's being challenged with a fake candidate. But there are quite a few people who hear fake candidate and don't like the sound of that. So there's something about elections that seem to require honesty and integrity and that kind of thing. But when you look at it from a strategic perspective, it makes sense if your goal is to win an election, which is, of course, what every party and every candidate wants to do.
Yeah. Well, there is a fake Democrat in all of these in all of the races for governor, lieutenant governor, and for Senate. There's also a fake Democrat in one of the Senate races that does already have a Democratic primary. A state Republican Party spokesperson says this is in case one of the real Democrats decides to bow out of the race. They want to make sure there would still be a primary, and I guess that's the case for governor too. In case all of them would withdraw or something. A placeholder is what they're calling it. So we are talking about all of the latest recall news in Wisconsin during this edition of our State Capitol Report with Tim Dale, Assistant Professor of Political Science at UW-Green Bay. We're talking about some of the latest developments on the campaign trail, including this attempt to put fake Democrats on the ballot by the Republicans. What do you think of that? What questions do you have about this flap between the Barrett and Falk campaigns over collective bargaining? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. This is our State Capitol Report. We are talking with Tim Dale, Assistant Professor of Political Science at UW-Green Bay, about the latest recall news in Wisconsin, including this issue of Republicans fielding fake Democrats to run in all of these races. And we have let's get a call in on this topic. Nancy in Madison is with us. Hello, Nancy.
Oh, hello. My concern was if it's constitutional, according to our state constitution, to run a fake candidate. I thought that a candidate couldn't misrepresent themselves in that way. And that's it.
Yeah, and there are other groups that are claiming that this fake Dems scheme is felony election fraud. Tim Dale, what do you know about this?
Well, the argument is that when you file papers, you have to file, one of the things that you have to file is that you are representing a particular party. So then when you file for a primary, that you would file that you are representing the Democratic Party. So the argument is that by saying that you're representing the Democratic Party but not actually believing that you are a Democrat, that that constitutes fraud. I'm not sure that this will get much traction legally, just because there really isn't precedent for Democratic or for any party affiliation to be a verifiable thing. So we don't require people join parties in this country at all. There really isn't a membership. So even when your listeners believe that or feel that they are a member of a party, they probably don't have a card in their wallet that says, I am a member of the Democratic Party or I am a member of the Republican Party. And so when a person fills out that they are representing the Democratic Party, it could be that in their mind they fully believe everything that the Republican Party believes, but they are in this case representing the Democratic Party as a point of fact. The caller's question and really the concern about constitutionality is tapping into that distaste that a lot of people have for someone who is being disingenuous in an election and filling out election papers. And that does make a lot of people uncomfortable. I think that there's probably an ethical question there, but I'm not sure that there really is a constitutional question, or at least one that is going to get a very much traction in the courts.
We're going to check news, and then we'll continue talking about recall politics in Wisconsin with Tim Dale, Assistant Professor of Political Science at UW Green Bay. What's on your mind regarding the upcoming recall elections? Have you decided which candidate for governor or lieutenant governor has earned your support and why? What about those state senators who are facing recall elections? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We will check news and then we'll be back. You're listening to the State Capitol Report here on the Ideas Network. It's a recall politics edition of the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is now 7:36 on this Monday, April the 9th. We are discussing the latest developments in the upcoming recall elections, including debates over collective bargaining and which candidate would handle that issue the best, the fake Democrats, national implications, and more. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions about the upcoming recall elections. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Tomorrow is the deadline for candidates to get in their nomination papers if they plan on challenging Governor Scott Walker, Lieutenant Governor Clayfish, or the four Republican state senators who face recalls. The primary election day will be May the 8th. The general recall election day will be June the 5th. We, by the way, will be inviting all of the candidates who are running for governor or lieutenant governor in the primary to join us for candidate forums coming up later this month. We are planning for the third week in April as a week during probably our 7 o'clock hour to bring you half-hour conversations, forums with all of the Democrats running for governor or lieutenant governor. And we hope that you will join us for that. Stay tuned for more details. We have other people who are online or have sent us Facebook comments regarding the fake Democrat situation. We'll get to those. And again, you can join us 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Tim Dale, Assistant Professor of Political Science at UW Green Bay. John in Madison is with us next. Hello, John.
Good morning.
Morning.
It seems pretty clear to me that if the Republicans can get their vote out in the Democratic primary and the Democrats are splitting their vote four ways between four candidates, that the Republicans have a fair shot at winning the Democratic primary and thereby eliminating the recall.
Is that possible, do you think, Professor Dale?
Well, I think in the gubernatorial race, it may be difficult. It's generally hard to get voters to vote, even primary voters to vote for a fake candidate. So it would take a really unprecedented feat of turnout to get Republicans to turn out for the Democratic primary. It's just that when you're running advertisements to get people to vote, generally explaining the logistics of what a fake candidate is and how a fake candidate would benefit the real candidate would make it very difficult to get that done. I think what we're likely going to see in all these races is a legitimate general election race. Of course, it is more possible in the races that have a smaller constituency, so the state Senate races. But even then, I think that voters tend to be better informed, and Republicans in general, even Republican voters who would vote in the primary, I think are not going to be inclined to turn out to the polls in the numbers that we would see that would create that kind of result.
Well, we also have, we wanted in this hour to touch on these other races, too. Candidates for lieutenant governor. There are a number of Democrats who have announced the winner of the May 8th primary will face Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish. We have Malin Mitchell, president of the Professional Firefighters of Wisconsin, Ira Robbins, a private investigator from Milwaukee, Bruce Berman, a contract driver from Marinette, Dale Paul, a guard at the Columbia Correctional Institution in Portage, and there is a so-called fake Democrat also running in this primary, Isaac Wicks or Wicks is going to also be on the ballot running as a Democrat. So, I don't know if we can go over the strengths and weaknesses of all of these candidates, but maybe you can tell us, give us your handicap this race for us to some extent.
Sure. Well, the lieutenant governor race is definitely not on the attention or everyone's attention. I think one of the interesting scenarios would be for one of the recalls to work for either governor or lieutenant governor, and a Democrat take over, and then in the other race, the incumbent wins, and so we have a split lieutenant governor and governor. But in the case of the people that you mentioned, it also strikes me that that several of those candidates could be running without a particular party affiliation, but running in the Democratic primary. It sounds like that several of those people are average citizens who wanted to throw their hat in the ring. And so I think for lieutenant governor race, we probably aren't going to see the attention paid to it. We're not going to see the advertising that we're seeing in the governor's race. And I would predict that if Walker is successfully recalled, if whoever the Democratic candidate is wins, that we would see essentially all of the votes that were cast for the challenger to Walker be cast for the winner of the Democratic primary for lieutenant governor.
Mm-hmm. There are the four state senators who are also facing recall, and again, it's kind of hard to describe all this on the radio. But we have two Democrats now. Well, we have a Democrat, Lori Compass, facing a fake Democrat, Gary Ellerman, and the winner would face State Senator Scott Fitzgerald. We have. There's also Andrew Mielke versus former state senator John Lehman versus Tamara Vairbrook, who is a fake Democrat. The winner of that race will face Republican Senator Van Weingard. We have Kristen Dexter versus James Engel. James Engel is a fake Democrat. The winner will face Republican Senator Terry Moulton. And State Representative Donna Seidel will face a fake Democrat in the primary, James Buckley. The winner will then go on to face State Republican Representative Jerry Petrosky. Now, Jerry Petrosky is running instead of Senator Pam Galloway, who was the targeted state senator for recall, but she resigned. What are the chances, do you think, Professor Dale, that we're going to see changes in the makeup of the state Senate following these recalls?
Well, I think that one of the consequences of running the fake Democrats in the primary is that the general election is going to all be combined on one day. And I would predict that if the recall is successful for Walker, that you will see one or several of the Democrats winning in these in one of these races, and therefore control of the Senate switch. I think it's actually much less likely that Fitzgerald would lose his seat is fairly safe, just given the margins that he won by in the last election. But I think that if this election is going to change who's sitting in the governor's seat, I think that's pretty likely that we will see at least one of those senators win. In that case, I think that we could see the shift in the Senate. So this election is definitely about more than just the gubernatorial race. The state Senate could change hands if the momentum shifts in that direction.
Well, here's a new development. As the recall election for Governor Scott Walker looms in the near future, three Republican candidates have stepped forward to possibly challenge Governor Walker in a primary for the Republican nomination. I think it's safe to say these are fake Republicans, but I don't know for sure. Michael Mangan, a Milwaukee energy engineer, Arthur Cole Riggs, a Madison citizen, and Patrick O'Brien, a new Glarus stay-at-home father, have all filed paperwork with the Government Accountability Board for potential runs against Governor Walker in a May 8th primary election. So what do we make of that?
Yeah, well, this may be what's good for the goose is good for the gander situation. But like you said, I if I were Walker, I wouldn't be too concerned about losing a primary. But this will be a case where at least a few Republicans are going to have to vote in the primary. And actually, this may be in response to or addressing strategically a concern that one of your callers had in the first half hour, which is that if Republicans are out at the polls and are voting in the Democratic primary, that may create a problem for Democratic candidates. In this case, then Republicans would need to vote in the Republican primary on May 8th in order to make sure that their candidate of choice is the one who wins.
Mm-hmm.
But strategically, anytime you have fake candidates entering the race, you typically have responses from the other side because you don't want only one side having the fake candidates.
Well, we're talking about fake candidates and real candidates and welcoming your thoughts and questions about some of the latest developments in the upcoming recall elections in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, what do you think here? Do you live in any of these Senate recall districts? What's the atmosphere like in your neck of the woods? What candidate for Senate or what candidate for governor or lieutenant governor has already earned your support and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's going to be partly to mostly sunny today with a slight chance of rain or snow in northern Wisconsin. Highs in the upper 30s in the north to the mid-50s in the south. There is a freeze warning for western and central Wisconsin tonight, otherwise mostly clear with widespread frost. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 8 this morning, we will talk with the author of Money and Power, How Goldman Sachs Came to Rule the World. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. This is our State Capitol Report, and we are rounding up and talking about the latest news about Wisconsin's upcoming recall elections with Tim Dale, who is an assistant professor of political science at UW Green Bay. And we are welcoming your input and your questions. And we're wondering if you've made up your mind already in these elections. Do you know which candidate is going to get your vote, either in the primaries, which are May 8th, or the general recall election day, which is June the 5th? And let's take a call next from Ethan in Wausau. Hi, Ethan.
Hi, Joy. Hi, Tim. Thank you very much for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I think a lot of Wisconsinites are really tired of the political games, myself included. I identify myself as a Democrat, And I hope that we are not running fake Democratic candidates, because I really think it makes a mockery of the whole system. And I will not be participating in those games, whether we lose or not, because I really just don't feel comfortable doing it. I'm sorry the Republican side felt like that's something they needed to do, but I really just think it's disrespectful to our whole system. And I will take my comments off the air.
Ethan, thank you very much. But when you say you're not participating because of this, what does that mean?
Well, that means that I, for one, would not be voting for any sort of, or at least trying to talk people into voting for fake Democrats, or really supporting that in any way, because I really just feel like it undermines the morals of how I was raised and of many Wisconsinites. And I think, you know, the recall election showed that we want to stand up for what we believe is right, and I just don't think the games is anything that makes me feel good about the recall or anything like that. And I just want it to be fair, and I want it to be honest, and I think the voters need to have their say. And if it ends up being Republican this time, then it's Republican, and hopefully it's Democratic, but you got to respect what the voters want.
And you understand, Ethan, you understand that it's the Republicans who are fielding fake Democrats, and perhaps the Democrats have fielded some fake Republicans.
Yeah, correct. Mm-hmm. And I understand that. I know that. I'm just saying that I hope my particular side in this case is not participating in those games.
Yeah, I get it. And Professor Dale?
Well, I think one of the things that this whole question of fake Democrats raises or highlights is just the climate of politics that has caused us to be talking about fake candidates. So it's likely that before the last year in Wisconsin, we would not be having a conversation about fake candidates. Regular elections, the kind that we're used to, typically don't generate fake candidates. And so I think a couple of things come to mind. First of all, it's just the question of whether or not it's ethical or whether or not people can get behind something like a fake candidate. But I think it shows just how supercharged the politics are in the state right now, where you have people that are divided, the electorate is so divided that people are willing to go out and field fake candidates. But I also think it shows how much is at stake in these elections. These elections really matter. And so the extremism of what political parties are willing to do, I think, corresponds to how important the outcomes are. And so when you have parties and people who are the opinion makers in politics in such unusual contexts and in such unusually divided contexts, you have a lot of people who are finding ways that the system allows to gain any advantage. The outcome of these elections are going to matter, and so people in the political process are trying to find the way in which they are going to be best positioned to win. So your caller suggested that he's unwilling to be a part of recruiting fake candidates, even on the Democratic side, fake Republicans, I think, in that case. And I think that that's certainly an opinion that a lot of people have. Alternatively, I think if you asked a lot of people and they were given a choice between fielding a fake candidate or losing an election that would have a really serious and important policy consequence, they may choose the other way. They may decide that they would rather find every way to gain an advantage in the system with the result of having a representative who is closer to what they believe. So I think that this is should and has caused a lot of conversation about what elections mean and why elections matter.
Susan in Cottage Grove is with us. Hello, Susan.
Hi. I'm wondering if the whole idea of having the fake candidates really is to increase the recall fatigue factor and keep people home so that they just don't vote at all.
Is there any reason to believe that, Professor Dale?
Well, you know, it's a really interesting question, and the caller raises a question that political scientists are interested in all the time, not just during recalls, which is to what extent does voter fatigue or voter turnout, how is the number of elections we have affect that? And I think that it is an interesting question, but I think voter fatigue generally comes into play when voters don't see why an election matters, or when voters don't have a particularly strong preference. And I think that we're not necessarily going to see that in these races, because I think a lot of people are paying attention to these races and a lot of people understand why they matter. But I could see the situation where there are so many elections and it becomes confusing which election is for which race, that we would see that have some effect on voter turnout. But I think the mere fact of having an election when we don't normally have elections in Wisconsin in May and then in June is going to have a more pronounced impact on turnout. I think that in these races what we're going to see is that the people who feel very strongly one way or the other, feel very strongly in favor of one party or one candidate or another, these are the people who are going to be voting come June in Wisconsin. And so I think those people are going to be following the issues and know enough to have their, the reason that they're showing up to the polls be fairly meaningful.
David in Boscobel is with us now. Hi, David.
Hi. I'd like to say good morning to your guest. I would like to ask you to comment when you were talking earlier about the strengths and weaknesses of the candidates, particularly Kathleen Faulk, the fact that she's already lost the statewide race for attorney general, and the fact that she's also seen as a Dane County a liberal who have historically not done well in statewide races. And then with respect to Mayor Barrett, the fact that he actually used Act 10 to his advantage with his budget in Milwaukee, and that will be potentially used against him in a general election against Governor Walker. And I'll take my comment off the air. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. So a couple more weaknesses in both of their columns, Professor Dale?
Right. I think that the caller has pointed to some of the questions about the candidates. So you have the problem of losing statewide races in both of the most noticeable candidates on the Democratic side. You also have Walker having to make several decisions as the chief executive in Milwaukee that could be pointed to as either unpopular or contradicting some points. And I think that what these candidates are going to have to do is find ways to overcome those arguments in this shortened primary calendar. So why is it that Faulk believes that she can win a statewide race, or Barrett for that matter? What are the arguments that Barrett makes defending the decisions that he's made as mayor? And I think the question about being from Milwaukee or Madison is going to be an important one. So the governor's recall race is going to be won in places like Green Bay, Wausau, La Crosse, Eau Claire. These are the places where we have the greatest proportion of the swing voters, the voters that can go either way. We already know how Milwaukee and Dane County are going to vote. We already know how the suburbs of Milwaukee are going to vote. And so I think it's going to be very important for these candidates to travel around the state, spend a great deal of time outside the kind of Milwaukee-Madison corridor, because this is where the governor's recall is going to be won or lost.
Yeah, and as of now anyway, the current polling shows that it would be neck and neck between Governor Walker and Tom Barrett or Kathleen Faulk. Isn't that right? It's going to be, at least right now, if the election were today, it's going to be a very close one.
Yeah, and I think that speaks to that. That's right. And I think that this election is probably going to be too close to call going all the way to the end. And part of the reason is that we just don't see undecided voters. So, and this is another reason why the primary race, even if it gets negative between the Democratic challengers right now, probably isn't going to have that much impact on the general election, is because people have already decided whether or not they support Walker to be governor. So if you ask Democrats, they're willing to vote for any candidate that comes out of the Democratic side who challenges Walker, because this is about policy issues and questions, and the similarities are much greater than the differences between the Democrats. And the people who are supporting Walker are the people who have stood by Walker the entire time and through the whole process. So there are very, very few voters right now, because of the polarization, because of the amount mm-hmm. of information that voters are getting, very few voters are declaring themselves undecided at this point.
Thank you.
You really don't have people who are willing to vote one way and then will find something else out and vote another
way. Thank you so much for being with us, Tim Dale from UW-Green Bay.